Thank you, Dee Dee.
Good morning. How are you guys? So today is a special day. You know what it is? What's today? Father's Day. That's right. Fathers, our daddies are pretty special people, aren't they? So can you tell me what your favorite thing about your dad is? Just among us. He's fun. That's a good one. What else? What's your favorite thing about your dad? He watches sports with you. Okay, that's good. Anything else? What's your favorite thing about your dad? What would you say? Yeah? Yeah? You know what my favorite thing about my dad had a laugh. It didn't matter what he's laughing about, it made everybody else laugh. It was such a great laugh. And he also could whistle any song that he wanted to. That was amazing. Well, dads are really great, our earthly dads. They help us learn to ride bikes, and they teach us how to fish, and they teach us how to fix stuff, and they might do really other good things. So if you have a dad that does that stuff with you, great. Or if you don't, if you have another person that helps you just like that, it's good to have those on earth. But there's also our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father God, He will never mess up. You know, none of us are perfect on this earth, but God is, and He will never mess up. He will never leave us. He will never make a mistake. And He will always be a father, even to those that don't have a father. So a really long time ago in Bible times, when they would pray to God, they used these words. They would say, Abba, Father. And that means Daddy God. God is our perfect Father, and we can trust Him completely. So He wants you to talk to Him, just like you do to your friends or your mom and your dad here on earth. And when we do that, we call that praying. So praying is just like talking to God like you would anyone else. So He loves you so much, He wants you to talk to Him. So how about we do that right now? You want to fold your hands and we'll pray? Okay. Dear Daddy God, thank you for letting us be here to celebrate Father's Day. Thank you for our fathers on earth, and for putting people in our lives that can be like a father. Most of all, thank you for being our Heavenly Father. Thank you for loving me. I love you too. In Jesus' name, amen. So I brought you guys something that you can take home to your dad, and it is a whole week of coupons that you can give him as a gift. You're welcome. There you go. Thanks. Have a great week.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Appreciate that message that helps me. As I want to focus in on God as our Father, our Heavenly Father. Especially like what Dee Dee said at the end. See, we were praying and we prayed, I love you, God. That's really a nice thing. I can assure you, it's actually a manly thing to do. Something that I would like to share with you this morning, talking about the Father heart of God. What I would like to share with you is that God has an image for us to copy. He has an image for us to imitate. And there are many distractions in this world that will draw us away from that Father heart of God. But what God's doing in Jesus Christ is drawing us back to the Father by giving us an image of who God the Father really is. And when we have a better idea of who God the Father really is, it has a wonderful impact on our faith and our life and how we act towards God and how we interact and act towards others. So to help lead us into that, I picked this reading from the Old Testament, which is before the fall. It's the time when Adam was first created, and it gives us an idea of the fellowship that God had and some insights into who we are as men. Now, Genesis chapter 2 is like a frame-by-frame. It's different frame-by-frame creation story of the man and then the woman. It's different than Genesis chapter 1. So later on, you can look in your Bibles. You can scan the story in Genesis 1 and then the story in Genesis 2. And God made men and women different. He could have made them exactly the same. He could have made them at exactly the same time. But he specifically did it the way he did it because though men and women, we have complementary roles, we work together with each other, we are yet unique. And there is a certain uniqueness to the man that's important for us to know and understand. Now, to begin with, ladies, especially ladies who are married, and you have to deal with us husbands, have you noticed that we sometimes don't follow instructions? See the ladies, it's true. I mean, this is a stereotype, but it is interesting that oftentimes men will not ask for directions. And if they're trying to do something, I find myself falling into this from time to time where I'm trying to put something together, and about a month ago I put together this swing, and I really tried on my own. I really tried to do it on my own. You know, and it's interesting when you put something together, then after you do, you want to show your wife. And you have to say, well, look what I did. And there is a certain independence within us. And when I was looking at this creation story, it dawned on me that God built that into men. They were made alone. They were by themselves. He was by himself in the beginning. He was just him and God. And he had to do things on his own. He had to solve things on his own. It's like part of his very nature, part of who he is. And what God did was God wanted him to imitate and draw his image and his picture from what he should be, his character and his heart and his thinking. See, because God is a spirit, we're flesh and blood, but we're made in his image. So that means the character that we have, the heart, the way we think, laugh and sorrow and joy and all things such as our emotions and our character are in God's image. And in the beginning, God wanted the man specifically to take that image only from God, just like a parent and a child. And I don't know if you did this with your kids, but we have two boys, and I like to do work with tools and make things. And I had tools like a planer that I would work with at home and a drill, and our kids had these little tyke tools, and one of them was a planer, the other one was a drill, one was a saw. And when I would be out there planing a piece of wood, Matthew would go and get the planer and he'd be over there doing the same thing. And imitation just is the highest form of praise. It's just the parents feel so good when that happens. They look and they see what the child is doing. The child is just really happy. And it's just something of a fulfilling, satisfying sense of connection and relationship that's there, that God has knit into the man and God right from the very beginning. And he wants us to take our image and who we are from God alone. That's how he's made us. And that was the point in creation when he made man first. There's also one other thing that comes out in creation that's important for us as men. You notice that God wanted him to have a helpmate. And I don't think God was confused in any way, shape, or form. He did bring the animals to him, and he wanted him to name the animals. God said it was so he could find an appropriate helper. But really what he's doing is he's naming the animals, and the day before that, when God created the world, he created the firmament, named it heaven. He created the globe, he named it earth. Now, in a smaller sense, Adam is over Eden, whereas God is over all the universe. Now Adam is in Eden, and he has the responsibility and the privilege of naming things just like God does. And God does the God part of bringing the animals to him. And God and Adam is imitating God, naming these animals. And as God likely knew, he was not going to find a helpmate in any of the animals. But what God was doing was more important than that. He was working something very special into the heart of man, which we should really just cherish. He was creating desire. He was creating desire deep inside the heart of a man. And there was no animals, there was nothing that could really satisfy that connection that the man saw or felt or needed until he saw what God had specially made for him. You see, he looked at the man in the garden, and he knew that that was not going to work for him to be by himself. It just wasn't perfect. And so in his wisdom, he created a woman. And when the man saw the woman, there was such a desire that God had knit within his heart. There was such a longing for companionship. He saw the woman, he said, "That's for me. That is going to complete me. That is going to make me whole. That is exactly what I need, God." And so God was working right in the beginning, before the fall. He was working for us to pattern ourselves after God. And then also to know that he has given us the gift of a wife, gift of a woman, one woman, that we could rejoice in, that we could feel fulfilled in, that we could feel just fully complete and satisfied in. And that's really, that was God's picture, you know. That was the image that he had for us. And that's what Genesis 2 is giving us. Now, you know, the problem that we have actually is that has been really destroyed. And the fall into sin just really messed everything up. I mean, the botany, the zoology, the meteorology, everything in the world has been just completely messed up. And you can see in this world that God really wants us to build and to pattern ourselves still after God. And that was the reason why Jesus Christ came into this world, because he was going to restore us. He came into this world to restore a relationship with God. And in restoring our relationship with God, he wants us to pattern ourselves after God again. It's just, what I'm talking about is just a pure and a simple faith that is comfortable in the presence of God. I'm really thinking of a very, very simple message here. That, you know, after the fall, what happened was they ran away from God. Because of sin and guilt and shame, they did not feel comfortable in his presence. I think the most important thing that Jesus Christ is doing is, first on the cross, he's showing there's nothing between you and God anymore. Just feel comfortable in his presence. Get to know who he is. Get to know how loving he is, how kind he is. You know, and it's so important for us to grow in this understanding. It brings such confidence, such assurance to us. Because in this world, there are constant changes. Things change all the time. There's difficulties, there's stresses, there's all sorts of things we look at in the world, and God wants to be our rock. He wants to be our strength. And so what I did as for us this morning, I mean, I could have picked any names, I could have picked any examples of God's character. In your outline, I picked three. And I picked three essential aspects of God's character that he really wants us to know, and he really wants us to be comfortable with. And it's not just whether you're a man or whether it's you're a woman or whether you're a child. It's really what God wants us to do, as was in the beginning, to pattern ourselves and to build ourselves according to what the image of God the Father really is. And the first one that I had picked was that God the Father, is a very caring and compassionate and loving God. In the Psalm 104, it says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor him." Now, the reason why this is important is because if you don't think or you don't have the understanding that God really cares about your life and about your problems, you know, it's a very profound question. Does God care for you? Does God care for me? Is he concerned about what happens in my life? You see, if that question, until we settle that question in our mind, you're really not going to want to get to know God. You're not going to feel comfortable in his presence. That's why when Dee Dee was leading in the children's message and she led us in a prayer and then we prayed, "I love you, God." You know, there's something really beautiful and wonderful about that. Just to feel comfortable in his presence because he cares for you. Just because he is concerned about what happens in your life. God is concerned about every little detail. He has this compassion and this concern for us. That it says in the Bible, even the very hairs on our heads are numbered. Now, for some of us, that might be a little easier than others. But if you think about what he's getting to in that, he's saying, "I look into every single aspect of your life, and I'm concerned about it. I want to express that sort of care and concern in your life." And you know, our God, Heavenly Father, is such a consistent Father. It says in James, "Every good and perfect gift is from the Father, who does not change like shifting shadows." You know, it's with God, he never changes. He's always the same. And God never has a bad day. God's not moody. He doesn't wake up like some dads and some, you know, we might have moody, we have good and bad days. But God is never like that. God doesn't wake up in a bad mood and think, "Okay, who am I going to zap today?" I mean, he doesn't think about things like that. He just always thinks of how he can bless us, and he is consistent Father. And the good news is that even though we might have inconsistencies or problems in this world, God's consistency and his dependability never, ever fails. I brought this example in. It's something that we use in climbing. It's used for sport climbing. I don't know if you've ever seen these, but this is a locking carbiner, and this is a belay device. Brought it in also because for the VBS, Jill is going to dress up like a spelunker. So she's got a little harness on, is going to put this on. But the reason why I brought this in, it helps me convey the point about God's consistency to me personally. Because, see, when I'm out climbing and I use this, and my strength is still there, and I can still do it on my own, I can still climb the route. Because I know from sport climbing, the time when we've done it, and I've actually seen people go up really easy routes without these at all, not even wear the harness, take off the belay device, they don't need a rope, they just climb it. And so you really don't need this when you have the strength on your own and you have the ability on your own. But when your strength and ability fails, this is going to save your life. And it's actually in the weakness when you fall and when you're falling that you actually find the consistency of God, who is able to give you strength and able to give you help. And it's oftentimes not a manly thing, we would think, to really trust in God in that way, in our weakness, but it's actually in our weakness we become stronger. We become more enabled in our faith and more enabled in our ability to trust God. We become more peaceful. We become more calm. We become less reactive to things, less angry, There's a whole bunch of factors in our character when we begin in our weaknesses to learn to trust in God, that God rebuilds in us and works in us, that makes us actually stronger examples to other people. But we don't see it unless we fall, unless we're trusting in God. Because our human character, the flesh, the idea that we would normally think as human beings, is often, you know, it doesn't have that. It's weak and it falls and it's full of anger and it's full of inconsistencies and it's full of things that people look at as deficiencies, but actually in trusting God, we become stronger. And in our weakness, God's able to work a strength in us that becomes an example to other people. That is actually very encouraging, very godly. You wouldn't think that it would work that way. But it's actually in our weakness, God actually moves through His consistency and as a loving Father to work in us strength and ability that would not be there otherwise. And that's why His consistency is such a wonderful thing to us. He is close by. He is always close to us. It's important for us to see that. That, you know, in every instance, in everything that we are going through, you know, the Bible tells us an interesting verse. I didn't put it in the outline, but I'll give you the reference for it. It's from Acts chapter 17, verse 27. It says that, you know, God wants people to reach out for Him, since He is not far from each of us. And God wants us, it says in Acts, to reach out for Him. He wants us as men to yearn and desire that relationship that was there before the fall. To trust in Him, to see that He is a caring Father. To see that He is a consistent Father and that He is close by. And when we are stressed with family issues, with work issues, that people would see in us a strength and a consistency that we derive and receive and know from God through Christ. That actually is true manliness. That actually is being a true man as Adam was created. And that we're tempted oftentimes to build our examples from other things that we see in the world, broken examples, if you were. But for us, it is wisdom and it is the grace of God that draws us into Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share, I put three blanks in there that I'd like to fill in with you, because they're important things for us to remember in our daily life, is that one, God is never, ever too busy for us. Never too busy. He is there. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. And it is something for us to begin working in our daily lives. For us really to, you know, in our work lives, in our family lives, you know, to just develop this, as Dee Dee was talking, prayer, we just talk to God constantly. And we really want to define our image by what we see, who we see God is. You know, God says He loves to meet our needs. He loves to meet our needs. It says from Matthew, if you know how God gives good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? You know, for a man, it is really strength for us to trust in God, to know that God is going to meet our needs. There is something of a confidence that comes from that, where we just know in our hearts, even if we're concerned about the money being short, even if we're concerned about our emotions, our heart being short, not being able to meet the need, there is something manly and strong about saying, my God is my strength, and He will supply my need. He will supply that. I believe that. And you see, that has to grow in our heart. That's something that you cultivate through a really deep relationship with God, just like a parent to a child. And his Word works in us. It creates faith. And it's that I believe is really true manliness. That's being a real godly father. That's growing in that relationship with God. You're becoming a witness to others of the faith that you have. And that speaks volumes to people, because everybody, as we sang in that first song, is searching. They're looking. They don't know. They're going from one thing to another, trying to find out what will work for them. And God says, I work. I work for you. I bless you. I am your strength. You know, and God is forever sympathetic to our hurts. He really is. And guys, women, children, we all need to know that. We all need to grow in that. And I take great encouragement from that. This last week, we said goodbye, because it is goodbye. It's see you later to Doris Meyer. She passed away, and we had the service on Wednesday. And you know, those are times in life you have to be sad. I mean, you know, Vern was married to Doris for 65 years. That's a long time to be with your soulmate. But you know, God is able to strengthen us at those times. And I think if you asked Vern, if you get a chance to ask him or talk with him, you know, I think he would tell you that. I think he would share, you know, I'm looking to God for his strength. Because God cares. He is sympathetic to our hearts. And see, the world doesn't give us that sort of strength, but our God does. And so a real godly father is one, just like going back to Adam, takes his image and his purpose and everything he is from God. That's what Jesus Christ did. He came into this world, he went to the cross, and he paid for all our sins. So everything that could have been against us, would have been against us, past, present, future, has been taken care of. So now that fellowship that was once in the garden is now open to us through Jesus Christ. And I am just fascinated that God has given us this lifetime to grow and learn that. So what are you going to face this week? What are the challenges you're going to deal with? Are you just going to face them alone, or you're going to face that in the strength with your Father God? Are you going to let him supply your strength to you? Are you going to let him be your hope? I can guarantee you that in doing so, your life will really speak of that faith and speak of the hope that God has brought to us in Christ Jesus. In his name, amen. And our service will continue now as we collect our tithes and our offerings for the day. God bless you.